Say, certainly it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And those of you that haven't been here in a while, or those of you that this is your first time, you're going to understand this is the baby corner right here. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. I've always heard it said, and I believe with all my heart, if a man can't preach over a couple of crying babies, then he ain't never been called to preach in the first place. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel in the 37th chapter. And I want you to know this as we turn there. The wonderful thing about the Word of God is that the Word of God deals with something specifically in a certain time frame. But it also is good for years and for generations later. Now I understand this 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, so many take it to be the coming to be of age of Israel, how that so many of them were killed during the Holocaust, and how that in 1949 they became a country. But I want you to understand that this has, I believe, a great application for the church today. A lot of men take things that are spiritual and try to make them literal. They take things that are literal and try to make them spiritual. The Word of God is not open unto some private interpretation. That means that if I'm preaching something that is different than what gospel preachers that were full of the Holy Ghost have preached for years, there's a good chance I've gone off the track and gone off the rails. But in this 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, I love what the Lord says, or what Ezekiel says about the Lord. He said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of dry bones. And He caused me to pass them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley." Notice this, "And lo, they were very dry. And He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, Thou knowest. O Lord God, Thou knowest. And He said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as the Lord commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, those sinews and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them about, but there was no breath in them. And he said unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man. Say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for all that you've done for us. God, we thank you. You sent your Son Jesus to die on Calvary, Lord, to save a lost wretch like me. God, I am persuaded the salvation is for everybody, that all can be saved. But Father, there's only one way to eternal heaven, and that's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, you said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me." God, I thank you that the things that are hidden from our eyes become real whenever the Spirit of God begins to breathe the breath of life into us as individuals and upon the church. Lord, I pray this morning, may the breath of God come down from heaven and fill the souls of your people. Now, God, we can come together and we can abide together and we can worship together, but until your Spirit moves within us, Lord, we're still dead in our sins and our trespasses. God, I thank you. I got a day to go back to that you breathe the breath of life into my soul. And I was dead and in sin and trespasses become alive. And Lord, I know I'll never die. That is to say, my soul will never die. Now God, we love you and we praise you. God, let us take a moment to thank you for what you've done in Cameron's life. Now, like Sunday, you breathe the breath of life into her. And oh God, you can see the vibrance and the life and the love. And it's easy to see that one came, Lord, maybe from the dead part of sin and trespasses. And she's alive. Now God, if you did it for her, I'm persuaded you'll do it for others. God, hide us behind the cross of Calvary. Let us preach what thus saith the Lord. We'll ask you this in Christ's name and for our sakes. Amen. And amen. I'll try not to be very long, but I want us to notice, you know, in this 37th chapter, how that God began to move and God began to work, but He made them a promise before that in the 36th chapter. Now I want to read this right quick. He told them in the 36th chapter and the 24th verse, He said, I'm going to take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and I'll bring you in to your own land. Then will I sprinkle you with clean water. He said, you shall be clean. All your filthiness and your idols I'll cleanse you from. And in verse 26 he said, I'll put a new heart also I'll give you. And a new spirit I'll put within you. I'll take out the old stony heart of your flesh. And I'll give you a new heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you. And cause you to walk in my statutes. And keep my judgment. And do them. And you shall dwell in the land of your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will also save you from all your uncleanness. Now here we see the prophet by the name of Ezekiel. God is in verse 37, said the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. I love the book of whether it's the book of Nehemiah or the book of Ezra. And here Ezekiel says it, the good hand of my God, or the good hand of the Lord was upon me. I want you to know this morning. We got a lot of men standing behind the sacred desk of God, preaching what they want to preach and saying what they want to say. But we need men and women who have the hand of God upon them. And it don't mean we won't go through hard times. It don't mean we won't suffer. It don't mean that we won't have to go through valleys and tough places. But thank God, if He took His hand off of me, I'd be most miserable. But one of the joys of being a child of God is knowing His hand is upon me. You know what that means? He'll put me right where He wants me. And He'll put me right where He needs me. And He'll put you right where He wants you. And put you right where He needs you. The Bible said, now the Spirit of the Lord, He said He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down right in the midst of those dry bones. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, we think when the Spirit of God touches our life that you know, all we're to dwell with is the household of God. And don't get me wrong, we are to dwell together. But far more important when God put His hand on our life is to go out into the midst and sat down in the midst of those that are dead. He set the man of God right in the middle of that valley of dry bones. You know what He said? Ezekiel, take a look around you. You ain't no better than anybody else. Look at what you see, boy. And don't you know when He sat down in the midst of those dry bones, you know what it felt like? It felt dry. I heard Stephen Davis say this. And y'all know that Stephen liable to say whatever he says at any time. He had been in a church that had a great revival and God had blessed. And he went to a church that was like this, a valley of dry bones. And he stood up and said, with what had happened, would have happened here weeks ago where I was at a revival that had been shouting, that had been praising the Lord. He looked at the congregation and he said, pretty dry, pretty dry. pretty dry. I don't know about your church. I didn't get saved and God didn't save me to sit down in a valley and just sit there of dry bones. And that's not what we are. That's what we were. But thank God I've been saved from a valley of dry bones. He's put the breath of life in me. And every now and then we need to get down to where people live and realize what they need is what we have. They need Jesus. And so here they are. He is down in the valley of dry bones. And he calls me. Now listen. God takes him out of the valley where he's sitting in the dry bones and causes him to pass around. You remember Nehemiah? Before they rebuilt the walls, he took a trip around the city to see the work that needed to be done. I want you to know, Ezekiel's going around that valley of dry bones. He's taking an account of what's going on. He's looking at the work that needs to be done. When he gets and makes his lap around, he says this, they were many dry bones in that valley, and they were very dry. I've come to ask you this morning, has your walk with God dried up? Has your walk with God dried out? Do you realize there are a lot of Christians that name the name of Christ, and they don't have any vitality or love in their heart or in their life? But I want you to know that when Christ makes his abode within our heart, there's a change that takes place. And every now and then, I get down in the valley of dry bones. Every now and then I don't feel as close to the Lord as what I want to be. Oh, but thank God, the breath of God comes into my life again and makes me alive again and makes me love again. Know how we need the breath of God in the church. You say, we need a good gospel preacher to stand behind the pulpit and preach the gospel. Yes, we do, but more so than him, we need the very next word out of the mouth of God concerning the church. We need the breath of God and the Spirit of God to confront us and to move us. I want you to notice the Bible said that the Lord had made these promises of what he would do. He told Ezekiel what he would do. So Ezekiel said this, so I prophesied as I was commanded. I want you to know this. I don't come here on Sunday morning to preach to you what I think about the Bible. I don't try to go into your life and try to preach a message or to try to straighten you out. That ain't my job. That's up to the Lord. But what I've come to preach is what Ezekiel preached. It was a message of hope. He said, dry bone, God's going to do something in your life and he's going to change where you're at. And you're not going to be dead anymore. And you're not going to be lifeless anymore. I'm sick and tired of a lifeless church. We need the Spirit of God to move in us and through us. Said, Brother Russell, you sure are loud. I'm passionate. This is a matter of life and death. Brothers and sisters, there are churches all around us that are drying up and dying. And every Sunday they come in the door and they pat themselves on the back. And they say, oh, we had a good service, didn't we? And nobody moved. Nobody prayed. Nobody cried. Nobody felt anything. They walked out the same way they walked in. But when you love to be a part of a church, then when you came in, you felt God move so strong that it compels you to change what you were and let him work in your life. You know why lost in thine world? Hey, darling. You know why lost in thine world don't have any confidence in the church? It's because they see a church just like they are. They see a people just as miserable as they are. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, I want you to hear this now. Thank God. Thank God I'm saved. No, you didn't get that, see. Thank God I'm saved. I'm saved from hell. I'm saved for heaven. I've been saved for a good work. God didn't save me, Mike, to put me on a shelf and let me watch and look at the rest of the dry bones around me and say, well, that's all right. You know, they're getting what they deserve. They're drying out. God sent me down in the midst of the valley of dry bones. You know why? Because there's a message of hope on my heart to tell them, if He made me alive, He can make you alive. You know what? We got a lot of men standing behind the book board that looks at the valley of dry bones and says, oh, a lost and dying world. They're getting what they deserve. Where would we be if we got what they do, or if we got what we deserve? You know what God wants us to do? To go and to love them. You say, you mean we're supposed to love awkward sinners? Absolutely. You mean we're supposed to love those that are not like us? Absolutely. If love can't win them, they can't be one. And so he goes down into the valley and he's preaching. He said, I prophesy. What do you reckon he was saying? What's the message that would bring life? What's the message that would cause those bones to move? I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Listen. If all we preach is death to the dead, they're no better off. We gotta preach to them that there's life and life abundantly in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, husbands and wives, your marriage don't have to be dead. Listen, families, your love for each other don't have to be dead. Listen to me, church, our relationship with each other and with God don't have to be dead. But oh, aren't you glad? It's the Spirit that brings vitality and life and love. And every now and then, Tyler, God will shake me and wake me up. And I've been sleepwalking for a while, but I'm good and awake now. And though I may be sitting in a valley of dry bones, I'm trusting God's going to breathe a breath of life and we're going to come alive. So here he is. He prophesied as the Lord commanded him. And you know what? There was a noise. The bones begin to rattle. There was a shaking begun to take place. Does anybody remember whenever David in 2 Samuel in the 5th chapter went to God and inquired, said, should we pursue the Philistines or Lord, should we wait? And the Lord said, I want you to go and round yourself behind them and put yourself in the mulberry trees and wait for the sound of the moving. How many of you know when God moves, there's a sound to the moving? Oh, we need some shouting in the house of God. There's a sound in the moving. There's a sound when the bones begin to rattle. I thought about, have you ever been so scared? The Bible says there were places where men heard or saw an angel and their knees smoked together. Now, my knees ain't never smoked together, but I'll assure you, I've had some times that I was really scared. Listen, whenever out of that fear and out of the conviction of God, there's some knees that begin to rattle together and bones that begin to move. And you know what those bones were doing? They were coming together. I want you to hear this now. Listen, listen, you got to get this, church. The politics of our age will drive us apart. The gospel of Jesus Christ will draw us together. I don't care what political persuasion you're from. I don't care how you label yourself. All I care about is that we get to a place to where we allow God to move us. And if God moves us, He will not divide us. He'll pull us together. So there's a sound of the bone and they're coming together. Chatham, you're fixing to have. Where's Chatham? Raise your hand, Chatham. Well, yeah, you are back there, son. I know you're going to go back in for surgery. And you had a ligament damage and a torn ligament. And here he says, I want you to notice in verse 9 or verse 8, he said, "Lo, behold, when I beheld the sinews and the flesh came upon them." That word sinew means the ligaments and the tendons. It is the ligaments that hold the bones together. And when a ligament is torn, the bone will come out of its place. What is it that constrains us? What is it that holds us together? What is it that makes us one? It is the love of God in Christ. It's God's love that holds us together. It's God's love that keeps us. It's God's love that makes us love one another. You know why churches come apart? You know why they divide? It's because they don't have enough love to keep them together. But I want to tell you, listen to me, Silver City Church, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, love one another, love one another, love one another. And love will keep us together. Listen, the bone began to come to the bone and they began to gel together. And then the Lord began to put flesh and cover them. Listen, all they were bones that were tied together with ligaments. And the Lord covered them with skin. When I read that, I thought about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they had sinned. He cast them out of the garden because of their sin. They realized they were naked. Aren't you glad you're covered? Listen, we've been covered by the blood of Christ. We've been covered by His righteousness. And now, here they are. They're gathered together. They've got skin and flesh upon them. But there was no breath in them. Now, I'm going to tell you, I got a young grandson. And a granddaughter, I got two grandsons that are coming along and a lot of young people in here. I want to tell you this. Listen, I want him and I want them to have a church that is full of the Spirit of the Lord. And son, one day, oh, by the grace of God, in the house of God, or maybe going down the road like it were with Cameron, the Spirit of the Lord will touch his little heart and save his little soul. Oh, I'm telling you, we need the breath of the Lord. Perfect, right where she's at, brother. You know what? We're so bent out of shape. You let a child come up and move around and that kind of thing. We get so bent out of shape. I'm going to tell you why. Listen, the house of God is a house of liberty. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's between you how you raise your child. But as a pastor, when they shout out, as a pastor, when they come toward the altar, God forbid us that we forbid them. I'm going to tell you this. You say, Brother Russell, they might be chaos. To God, the house of God has gotten so structured and so man-made and so put into a form, we're denying the very power of the living God. Help us come out of our form. Here they are. They're just lifeless bone or lifeless body now laying there. But God says, preacher man, I want you to get another breath. You ain't done. You got a message to preach. I know you're tired. I know you see me do some good stuff. But listen to me, preacher man. Get you another breath. Get you some strength. And tell them again about Jesus. Preach to them again. He said, I got a message for you, preacher. Call them the four winds to blow. Four winds. What do we have in the New Testament? The four Gospels of Christ. Get in the Gospel. Tell them about Jesus. And watch what I can do. Brady, we've talked about this a lot, ain't we, son? Now, I've talked to all my boys, my men, my young men about this. Do you ever get tired? Do you ever get, we talked about a rut, didn't we, son? You ever feel like you're in a rut? And you just seem like you're just there, trying to get out of the rut. Yeah. My grandfather, I'll be real quick, this is a side story, so be patient with me. But my grandfather used to think the harder you rock that pickup, better chance you. And sometimes you can rock it out of the rut. But you know what? One time, he jerked that thing in drive and stomped it. And before it stopped turning, he jerked it in reverse. And I mean, you want to talk about clutches and gears coming apart in that transmission, tore it all to pieces because he's trying to get out of something that he couldn't get out of. Well, I like what Will said the other night. When we get in that rut, we need something bigger than us to get us out of the rut. Let me tell you something about the Lord. He can pull you out of your rut. Here he is. He's preaching. He says, four winds come and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come, O four winds, breathe upon these slain that they may live. And he said, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. I want you to know this morning, Sister Cameron, welcome to the army of God, sister. Well, I want you to know, the four winds have breathed upon you, darling, and you've got a new life in Christ. You're not new and improved. You're born again, brand new in the eyes of God. And you know what the church needs? We need the breath of God. We don't need another dry church service. Walk out the doors the same way we came in. A lost and dying world. Do you realize what God's will is for you and for you and for you and for you and for me? Is to set us down in the midst of the valley of dry bones. And when you get there, don't condemn them. They're dead on their own. They know they don't have no life. But preach to them a message that can make them alive again. Well, I want to tell you, that's what the gospel is. It's a message of hope. That if you've been saved, you're going to heaven. Stand to your feet this morning. Get us a song, Steve, if you don't mind. Hey, sweetheart. I'm going to promise you this. A month ago, I mean this, a month ago, I was about as dead and as spiritless as any preacher that's ever stood behind the pulpit. Now, I'm just telling you. Consumed by the world, discouraged by the world, eat up by the world with no breath, with no life, and come to the house of God expecting God to do something in your life when what He wanted was for me to move. We got down in this altar when we talked about the bride and the groom, and I had his hand in the door, and he called to her, and she would not come. Oh, I'm telling you, that morning something changed in my life. The four winds blew down into my soul, and it's different. We don't have to be dead, beat up by our mistakes, cast down by our tribulations. Brothers and sisters, we can have life. But you ain't gonna have it in no other name than the name of Jesus. And no other person than the person of the Holy Spirit working through us. This morning I want to ask you a question. I need every eye. Now I know we're almost done. This is the most important part of the service. How long has it been since the breath of God has breathed into your life? Now I want to say this. I want you to hear me. You need to know this. If you truly been saved, you can't ever be lost again. Amen. Amen. You can't. But I'm going to tell you, you can be so miserable and so far away from God, and you can dry up and feel like you're dying, spiritually speaking. This morning, God can breathe breath into your relationship with Him. This morning, listen, is there anybody need the breath of God to breathe up in their life and give them life? What you got, Steve?
Page 296. Adam.